Makuta Sichas Chelek Tazayin, Parsha Mishpatim, Sicha Beis. From a Pasuk Kisikne Begoimer, in a Pasuk that says, if you will buy a Jewish slave, as Rashi Maitik the Verte Kisikne Ebedivri, Rashi quotes those words in the Pasuk, if you will buy a slave that is a Jew, Unez Mefarish, and explains that what it means is Ebed Shehu Ivri, it is a slave who is himself Jewish. Or maybe you should say that it means a slave that belongs to a Jew, but the slave himself is a goy. In other words, a goy is a slave that you bought from a Jew. Eved Ivri means the slave of a Jew. And regarding such a slave who was really non-Jewish, but because you bought him from a Jew, is Sheishonim Yabed, he has to work for only 6 years. So if that's the Pshat Mani Mekayim Bisnachalta Maisim, so then what are you going to do with the Pasuk later which says that you can bequeath slaves to your children? So who does that apply to? That would apply, B'lakoyach Min HaNochri, that is if you buy a non-Jewish slave from a non-Jew. But if you buy a non-Jewish slave from a Jew, he only works 6 years. Maybe that's what it means. Abba b'lokoch mi'Yisrael yoytze b'sheish. Tamad loymar, so the Pasuk says, v'cholu, and he said, and he proves that it's talking about a Jewish slave, not a slave bought from a Jew. Dafen fashtein, so we have to understand. First of all, the pirush is doch nor oif deverte ebed ivri. What Rashi ends up explaining is only the word Eved Ivri, what the meaning of Eved Ivri is. Favos is Rashi Matik Echdeverte Kisikne, then why does he also quote from the Pasuk, if you will buy? He's not explaining that part of it. Mekenish Zodnaz Rashi is a Maitik Slibdem, Vosfun Zay Kemen Zay, Zich Mistaya Zayn, as Doretzer Vegnan Eved Shu Ivri. We can say, you might want to answer, in other words, that the reason that he quotes Kisikne is because from Kisikne, this lends support to the idea that this is talking about an Eved which is himself Jewish. Why? V'Rashi is Mefarish Vaita, as Rashi explains a little further on, as Kisikne Muzich Redenveg in an Eifen from Achru Bezin, that in this case, if you will buy a slave, means that if the Bezin sold that slave, and since that's the case, the Bezdin can only sell a Jew as a slave. It can't sell a non-Jew as a slave, and therefore this must be talking about an Eved Shehu Ivri. So maybe that would be the answer why he quotes Kisikne, but that can't be, because vial number one, Oder Hechrich von Rashi, as Dor Etzach Veg Machru Bezdin, is Nish von der Vete Kisikne, Nomet Zad Yisura Dekra. That how does Rashi know that it's talking about Machru Bezdin, not from the words Kisikne, but rather because there's an extra pasuk Vibal Shtechem Vichyom Achicha Imach Benim Kolach, because further on it talks already about someone who sells himself into slavery. So therefore, what this must be talking about if the Bezdin sold him. So it has nothing to do with Kisikne. Kisikne would apply either way. So the words Kisikne don't really teach us anything about Eved Shehu Ivri. Number two, Adarabe. To the contrary, Oich Oder Hechrech as Machru Bezim Etzad Pasuk Yom Chachicha, even this proof that this is talking about if the Bezdin sold him, because later on it talks already about if he sold himself, is Shayach Davke L'Achamat Shinai Chach from Frier as Doretzach Vegen Eved Shehu Ivri. When can this Pasuk be extra? Because later it talks already about a Jew that sold himself into slavery. That's only after we know that this is talking about a Jewish slave. Then it becomes a question, why is it talking again about a Jewish slave, since later it talks already about a Jewish slave who sold himself? So then comes the answer that it's talking about that the Bezdin sold him. But if we don't know yet that this is talking about a Jewish slave, so then it's not an extra pasuk. If this is indeed, as Rashi wanted to say perhaps, that it's talking about a non-Jewish slave, then there's no extra pasuk here. As we can see from the order in which Rashi explains these things, Rashi We see that Rashi puts the order. He's first in this Rashi is explaining Eved Ivri, what Eved Ivri means. First he establishes that it's talking about a Jewish slave. Only then does he go on to explain the previous words, which are Kisikne, that Kisikne is talking that you bought it from through the Bezdin. Why does he explain that you bought it through the Bezdin, which is explaining the words Kisikne, after he explains the later words, which are Eved Ivri? Because that's the only way that you can get to the second explanation, is once you've established that this is talking about a Jewish slave, then the question becomes, why again? Oh, the answer is, Kisikne is talking about from the Bezdin. So therefore, Kisikne here is not going to tell you anything more if you don't already know that it's talking about a Jewish slave. Beis. And another thing, Vikum Gor Ahava Mina. The second question is, why would it occur to us as the Taichun Eved Ivri is Abdishal Ivri, that it means a slave that belongs to a Jew? Why would that occur to us? L'chayr is mer pashut as Eved Ivri, meint Eved Shul Ivri. This direct meaning of Eved Ivri means a Jewish slave. As we see in other places in the Torah, by Nar Ivri, like when it says the words Na'ar Ivri Vegn Yosef, in regards to Yosef. What does it mean? It means a Jewish Na'ar, not a Na'ar that belongs to a Jew. Yosef was a Jewish Na'ar. When Oich in Tanakh, Ula Sheshon Eved Mitzri, that Sheshon owned an Eved Mitzri, thus the Pirish is as a Hadgahat, a Mitzri Altan Eved. It means, of course, directly that he had a slave who was a Mitzri. So therefore, over here also, Eved Ivri, would the most direct meaning would be a Jewish slave. When Azoy Zoych Le'idach Gisa, Mochach V'Losh Na'Kosov, on the other side, in the other way, you see from the Pasuk, Eved Le'ish Amaleki, when the Pasuk wants to say that a person is a slave of someone else, it says Eved Le'ish Amaleki, not Eved Amaleki. As B'shas Pasuk meant Avde Shel Amaleki, when the Pasuk wants to specify that it's an Eved that belongs to an Amaleki, Zokte Nisht Eved Amaleki, nor Eved Le'ish Amaleki. So why would we think over here it's talking about Eved Shel Ivri? Mefarshim Zogn, so Mefarshim explain, as the Haba Minash Avde Shel Ivri is Mitzadam Diya Kaloshin Kisikne Eved Ivri, that it comes from the words Kisikne Eved Ivri, from Velachin sees Mashma as a Koif Dazav as Ishoinan Eved from Frier, when it says if you will buy a slave who is Jewish, it means you're buying somebody who is already a slave. That's why, in other words, it's describing the person that you're buying as already being a slave. B'meila is Mustaber to Taichin Eved Shel Ivri, and therefore it makes more sense to say a slave, somebody who is already a slave of a Jew, because it's describing the person already as a slave even before you bought him. So that's how the Mefarshim explain it. Does it up in Ishmaspik, but that's not enough of an explanation. Varim Oib Funim Loshna Kosov from Shutish or Mikra is Mer Mashma as a Sretzer Vegen Avdei Shel Ivri, because if you'll say that from the simple meaning of the Pasuk, it seems more like it's an Eved that belongs to a Jew, at Rashi demitgedarft onheben sein Pirush, then he should have started with that. If that's the more direct meaning, then Rashi should have started with that. Yochel Avdei Shel Ivri, he should have started, I would think, from the simple meaning of the Pasuk, it seems that it's talking about an Eved that belongs to a Jew. And then to go on to explain that it's not so. To prove that it's an Eved Ivri, because if that's the more logical explanation of Eved Ivri, then he should have started with that, not told us what it is, and then said, but maybe it means something else, and say, no, it doesn't mean that. But that was Rashi heit gleich on. Eved Shu Ivri is Muchach. But from the fact that Rashi immediately says that it's an Eved who is an Ivri, From this we see, as das ist der erste Svara, wie zu teichen den Pasuk, that this is the first, the most logical approach to what the Pasuk means. Und erst danach wird das Sofik, eine Elisha Abdeshalibri, and then he brings in that, oh, perhaps that there is another way to explain it, and therefore he explains that it's not so. Gimel. Farvos daf Rashi bavoren en da, umani mekayim vis nachalta meisa. Why does Rashi have to explain over here? What am I going to do with the pasuk which says much further in the Chumash about that you bequeath a non-Jewish slave to your children, that in other words it goes over, they don't go free? Why does he have to explain it here? Di kashe vert erz veren as vet kumet zu dem pasuk karv l'seif seif v'yikra. That question of what does vis nachalta mean, that will come up much later at the end of v'yikra. So over there he can explain what that means. Why does he have to explain it here? Und chotsch de mogge von dem ganzen Pirush Rashi is from Mechilta. And although it's true that this entire Rashi, all of this comes from the Medrash Mechilta, is the chiyadu kemetu b'kam apam, and it's known, as we spoke already many times, as also as Rashi shreip at Pirush ala Teira, is mochrach from Pashtus Aksuvim ala Sar, that whatever Rashi chooses to quote in his explanation on the Teira is clear, is essential, and he knows it from the simple meaning of the psukim, or the tzuzama medem vas mad gelen frier, or if not from this pasuk, it's something that we know from earlier. Or befratas benidin the dan the month Rashi as the mokir is zayme pirus is mechilta, especially in this case where Rashi doesn't say, he doesn't attribute it to the mechilta. So therefore, it's something which he doesn't want to even attribute to a medrash and so on. It's just a simple meaning. The funis verstandig as the ganze pirush is mochach al pipshutus from mikra da. Therefore, it must be clear. It's clear to us that everything that he says in this Rashi is clear from this pasuk here. So, therefore, what is the meaning of this Rashi? The bir bazeh. So, to explain this, estate frier in pasuk. Earlier, it says by yitzias mitzrayim hamid mitgenu from mitzrayim asach klei klesev klei zov. It says that Yidden took along out of Mitzrayim many golden, silver utensils. And then they had even more gold and silver from Kriyas Yamsuf, from Bizasayam. As Rashi says, that Moshe drove the Yidden away from Kriyas Yamsuf. And he explains, what does it say? He drove them away. He made them leave, travel. He see on Balkarcha that he had to make them travel away. Because the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, used to decorate their horses with gold and silver and precious stones. And all the Mitzrayim and their horses died, so they found all these utensils floating or by the Yam, washed up from the Yam. And the spoils that they took at the Kriyas Yamsuf was even more than what they took out of Mitzrayim. Das heißt, as by Ali Eden is mekuyim gvoron davtocha zevel nhob marachush godel, that every Jew came fulfilled Hashem's promise to Avram that they will leave Mitzrayim with great wealth. Von dem is moven bepashtus. From this it's clear, as Eden in a matzav von azag reisa ashiris by Eden, that in a situation where every single Jew is so vastly wealthy, is demot nish given shayech the metzias as a idzol veren an eved, was das kumt machnas an nius and chayzer moment. So in such a situation, which Jew is going to become a slave? Becoming a slave means a person is so destitute that he has no choice but to sell himself into slavery. But every Jew there was vastly wealthy. When Ayei says the parsha of Eilam Mishpatim kum gleich nach Matan Teira, and since this parsha of Eilam Mishpatim comes right after Matan Teira, that's what Moshe began to teach immediately. As man kotzer noch yitzis Mitzrayim, the Kriyas Yamsuf, which is only a short while after the Yidden left Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf was only a couple of months later, is mistaber alochol roisha de Eibishter ungezogt Eden the Mishpatim b'tziyurim. So it would be logical to say that the first mitzvahs that the Yidden were told were things which pertained to that time. rather than leave the current, the things which are current, he would leave for later. And talk about something that might come up many, many, many years later when a Yid becomes destitute. So most likely what he was teaching immediately were things that were current then. As we see that at the end of Pasha Yisrael, it says don't make any golden images and so on, silver images. Why would he say that? Mizbech Adoma, Mizbech Avonim Ta'asali. And he said that when you build a Mizbeach, it should be out of stone and out of an earth and so on. Unishta Delov Dafke Mizbech Kesev Azor, but not to make a golden or a silver, or not necessarily a golden and a silver Mizbeach. Chotch Yeder Efunzei Had Gehat Aribe Kesev Azor. And the reason that he had to point that out then was because everybody had so much gold and silver, so he was warning them, don't use the gold and silver for the wrong things. So because it was current. The Ribe Nogdem Birashi is Magdem Avde Shehu Ivri. So therefore, Evetru Ivri. Therefore, as soon as Rashi says that this is talking about a slave who is himself a Jew, he says, as the Loshen Eved Ivri main Kipashtus Evetru Ivri, that the direct meaning of the words Eved Ivri means a Jewish slave, a slave who is himself a Jew. But then he had to immediately counter that, or at least make sure that you understand. He has to immediately say, but more logical it would say, the words mean a slave who is a Jew. But logically, at this moment, which Jew is going to be a slave? Therefore, he says, maybe it means not a Jew that is a slave, but buying a slave from a Jew, from another Jew. Why? Because in the order of these psukim, what's going on in the context of these psukim is the svarim achayev, it would be logical to say, that it's talking about a slave that belongs to a Jew, evet knani shalachosei miYisrael, or meaning to say a non-Jewish slave that you purchased from another Jew. Why? Would it be more logical from the context that this is so? As we said before, since every Jew at that time was vastly wealthy, and he had also slaves and so on, and we know that they had slaves because in the Aseres HaDibros on Shabbos it says that your slaves and your maidservants also have to be allowed to rest. In other words, that they had slaves and maidservants. So therefore, since a Jew in that situation is not going to be selling himself into slavery, so then what does it must mean if you're buying a slave from another Jew, although the word Eved Ivri means a Jewish slave? So that's why Rashi immediately says, but maybe it means, from the context it seems otherwise. And then he explains that no, it's talking about a Jewish slave, and it's not talking about now, it's talking about later. But the child could have the question, Mahad Gelen Frier. We already learned earlier as Avraham Avinu had gehat an Eved, that Avraham Avinu himself had an Eved, which was Eliezer, and Eliezer was already part of Avraham Avinu's entourage before the Ben Absarim, the Bris Ben Absarim, and is geblieben Eved Avraham euch zendlige Jahren später, and he was a slave to Avraham many, many decades later as well. As we know from the story that he went to find the Shidduch for Yitzchak, which was after the Bris Ben Absarim, like 67 years after the Bris Ben Absarim. Und wie bald Avram hat mekayim given kol ha-Torah kula, ad shelo nitna, and since Avram fulfilled the entire Torah, even though it hadn't been given yet, wie Rashi sagt schon mefarsh given, as Rashi already has stated earlier, is wie kumt das, as Avram hat gehalten an Eved Knani, Eliezer, as oifel Yoren, if the pshat is that it's talking Eved that you bought, Eved Knani that you bought from an Ivri, so an Eved Knani has to be let to go free even after 7 years, 6 years. So how is it that Avram had a slave for so many years, if you have to sell your, you have to let him go free after 6 years. Oib dos meint avde shel ivri. If letting a goyish, a slave, go free after 6 years is dependent only on the fact that he belongs to a yid. So Avraham Avinu was a yid, and he had a slave, so he should have let him go after 6 years. So in other words, once Rashi introduces this idea that maybe it means a slave that belongs to a Jew, and that even a non-Jewish slave that belongs to a Jew has to be let free after 6 years, so then how the child says immediately, how did Avraham have a slave for so many years? So Rashi has to address this question. The Ribu Muz Rashi Bavarim of Harsha Seino Daminya, therefore Rashi has to address this question. Nor an Shtodim Tmiya Ifan Hagas Avraham, but instead of answering it in regards to Avraham, he answers it in a different way. Brengte demselben Stirin Rabbi Yeser Tegev, it brings the same question, but with a much stronger impact. The child only knows about Avraham. The child doesn't know what's going to happen later, what the Pasuk is going to tell you later. But Rashi knows what's going to be told later. So therefore he asks an even stronger question from the Torah itself, from the Halacha in the Torah, not just from a story. From Pasuk, Mitzvah for Rezhbe Torah, he asks the question on an explicit mitzvah in the Torah, Elmani Mekayim Visnachalta Meisam, because there's a clear Pasuk in the Torah that says that you're allowed to bequeath your slaves to your children. In other words, they do stay forever without having to be let go free. That's similar to the question about Avraham, but even more impactful because it's a clear halacha in the Torah. Und far emfed belakuach min anochi, and therefore he explains that with this idea that even a non-Jewish slave has to be let go, that's only talking about if you bought it from a yid. And he answers, but Avraham Avinu bought it from a goy. Vishnachal Tamaisim is talking about where he bought it from a guy, and therefore I would explain that to be the answer to this contradiction from the story of Avram and the story of Vishnachal and the Pasuk Vishnachalten. Vasazayzer given by Eliezer Rebbe Avram, which was, of course, the case of Eliezer, that he was bought from a non Jew. Al Pianal is verstandig, was Rashi brings from Pasuk Euch, the Verte Kisikne. So now we understand why Rashi also says the words kisikne, quotes the words kisikne, valdos is machazik den pirush as a smeint evichu ivri, because this strengthens Rashi's explanation that it's a Jewish slave. Why? Varim l'chair is the agdomas akosif kisikne ibrik. Because why does the Torah have to say if you buy an eved ivri? Erod gekent onoib mitten etzem din. Eved, ivri, sheishonim yabed. He just has to say, a Jewish slave should serve for only 6 years. Why does it have to say, if you buy? V'migifin bekamem akemiz b'teir al derech b'har sheinu maki ishu meis. As we find in many places in Torah, that the Torah immediately talks about the situation rather than gives an introduction how that situation came about. For instance, in our parasha it says, if a makeish, the person who hits a person and he dies, it doesn't say ki yakeish, it's a makeish. The loshen kisikne mein tapu'ula ba'osid. So therefore, why does the Torah say kisikne? What it means is, if you will buy someone in the future, but it hasn't happened yet. When the time will come and you will buy a slave. Even more to the point in our situation, because in this situation, it's not even a possibility. It wasn't even likely that this would ever happen in the current situation that we're in. Because they were so wealthy that this isn't something that is current, it's something that might come up in the future. That's why the Torah says, Ki sikne, when the situation will arise that you will be ready to buy a Jewish slave, that's why it says Ki sikne, because it's something off in the distance. The Mele is from dem mochach. Therefore, from this we see, as da retzich wegen de knie von an eved ishu ivri, therefore, since the Torah frames it in such a way that it's talking about something far in the distance, that's why it's more likely, and that's why it lends itself to say that it's talking about a slave that is himself a Jew. Because now this is not something that is really likely at this time. And it's not talking about a non-Jewish slave, Abde Shel Ivri, the slave that belongs to a Jew. He says, Lagabi in Pasnisht, on the Zibirig de Kisikne, because it was talking about a slave that is a non-Jew. Why does the Torah say Kisikne, when the time will come that you will buy? That could happen right now. Why didn't it just say Eved Yeshayshon Miavid? Vametzadim Raiv Ashirim. Because of the great wealth, they certainly, without question, had slaves. Certainly, that you can't say that it wasn't something that was relevant or current and so on, because it was. They had slaves, and they would sell slaves, and they would buy slaves. So therefore, why does the Torah, if it's talking about a non-Jewish slave, why does the Torah introduce it by saying ki sikne, when the time will come? That was something that could happen today or tomorrow. So it would have just simply went right into the situation of a slave serves for 6 years if it was talking about that. Hey, al pi zeh is of a nishvastandik. For what's taka hyped on the Torah, the dinu from mishpatim, take of lachamat and Torah, medem din evadivri. But since now that we understand that it's talking about a Jewish slave, and that the current situation was very unlikely that a Jewish slave would be sold or bought, so then why then does the Torah taka start the halachas? The first thing after matan Torah, they have to talk about something that will happen far in the future, that a Jewish person will be sold as a slave. Something that was very, very unusual at the time. So why does he start with that? Not something that was more current and relevant at the time. Especially in light of the fact that in this case, kisikne means that he was sold by the Bezdin, which means that he first would have had to steal something. And then after he stole something, they would have to try to get it back, and he doesn't have the money to pay it back, and therefore they have to sell him into slavery. And therefore, because he has to pay a penalty of five times what he stole, or four times what he stole, or at least two times what he stole, and because he doesn't have the money to pay, therefore he should be sold in order to pay it back. So it seemed more logical at first, the Torah should say that if you steal, you have to pay double or even four or five times as much in certain situations, and then if you don't have the money, then you can be sold as a slave. But the Torah immediately jumps in with the story of being sold into slavery by the Bezdin. Why something so outstandingly unusual? So therefore, since this is such a difficult thing to understand, and it's in the simple meaning of the psukim, so you have to understand for us Rashi, or the Rashi, who addresses any question in the simple meaning of the psukim, doesn't answer it at all in his commentary. As we find, in fact, that other mafarshim do explain it, do ask the question. Even though their commentaries don't really lend themselves so much to Pshuta Shel Mikra, so they do address it. But Rashi, who addresses the simple meaning of the pasuk, doesn't address it at all. We can't say that in the simple meaning it's not really a question. Why not? Because if to look from the simple meaning of you would say, you might want to answer that in the simple pshat, it doesn't matter which mitzvah is written next to which mitzvah, and the order of why he says this mitzvah here or there isn't really an issue in Pshuta Shel Mikra. Why can't you say that? Varim noisef of them was bereish parshasenu gufes Rashi madgish ve'elam noisef al rishonim marishonim v'sinu af elam esinai v'lom enismecha. Because right in this very parsha, only a pasuk earlier, Rashi said that why is it that ve'elam eshvatim is written with a vav? In other words, immediately after Har Sinai, and one, why is this written next to that? And so on. So Rashi clearly says that there is an issue of which mitzvahs are written or which subjects are written next to which subjects. Al pianal is the chdos shenismach lematzah the business Mitzrayim vayam. So in addition to the fact that Rashi clearly says that there is an issue of what's written next to what, but in this Rashi it's even more of a question, because the whole basis of the Rashi is that since this is written immediately after the situation where the Yidden were so wealthy, so therefore that's why it comes up a question. Maybe it means a non-Jewish slave, because how could you say that he's talking about a Jewish slave in this situation? So Rashi, in this very Rashi, bases it all on the fact that it's written close to the time of Bizus Hayam. So therefore we see that it's clear that it is important what's written next to what. The svara from the Kassal Gadai, the Chazan Pirish Rashi, as der posik retzich wegen Eved Ivri, nor wegen an Eved Knani, because that's the basis of Rashi's question. Maybe it's talking about a non-Jewish slave, because it's written right after this. V'oid v'ikir, more importantly, dan kendach nizayin kisikne Eved Ivri, eidem apaskin dem dimenik nimke begvei vosei. How could you say that you should sell an Eved Ivri before you know already that he has to be sold as a slave? In other words, he's talking about selling a Jewish slave before we were even told that he should be sold as a slave. So in other words, why does the in a nutshell, the question is, why doesn't Rashi discuss why the first thing that the Torah describes after Matan Torah is about buying a Jewish slave, which is such a it seems so irrelevant to the time that they were talking then, and we don't even know the underlying halachas which could lead to selling a Jew as a slave. So why is that not addressed? Bi'ashloimer, so we could say, as Rashi hatas bavorim mizayim pirush in hemshach parshasenu, that Rashi already alludes to it in the later on, in a few psukim later. In our Pashu, he says, "Umara oizen liyrotzem mekol sharei varim shebeguf." Why is it that if a slave says he wants to stay, so you have to bore a hole in his ear? Why dafke in the ear? Why was the ear chosen? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai. So Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai answered, "Oizen zoy sheshama alavsina leisignay." This ear which heard at Mount Sinai, do not steal. V'halav aganav, and he went and he did steal. Tirotza should be bored. A hole should be bored into them. And what about if he sold himself into slavery? In other words, he didn't steal and he sold himself into slavery. So why then is it in the ear? It's still, because the same ear which heard at Har Sinai that the Jewish people are slaves to me, meaning to Hashem, and he went and bought himself another master, so therefore he should be bored for that. That's how Rashi explains it. What does he mean by that? By under mitzvahs gefindt man nicht, as the Torah soll madge sein, the shaychus in the mschar mitzvah to the mitzvah. In other places in the Torah, we don't necessarily see a relationship between how the Eibishter rewards one for the mitzvah, or the opposite, punishes for the mitzvah, and the connection between the mitzvah and the reward. The dogma, for instance, the mitzvah from Kibbud Av HaEim, when it says that you should honor your father and your mother, but since schar is l'man yarichon yamecha, what is the reward that the Torah spells out? Is that you will have a long life. Is noisif of them, but the schar is nishnike bald noch the mitzvah. So first of all, we don't see that the reward doesn't come right after the mitzvah. Long life means later in life, at the end of a person's life, towards the end of a person's life. Not in the time when they are being raised by the parents. Nor la'acharich zman raf, after a long period. And then also is the mahus haschar nish kentig the shaychus to the mitzvah dafke. And also the idea that one should have long life because they honor their parents. What's the connection between the two? How is there a relationship between the reward and the mitzvah itself? So we don't find that the Torah connects the type of reward to the mitzvah that you're doing. So also by penalties for aveiras, zetminisht in the mainish malkus or the kares, we don't see the Torah specifies certain types of punishments like lashes or kares geitzbeas, but to the Avedas, the ancient, we don't see any connection between this type of penalty with this type of Aveda that for which it comes. Here we find that the Torah does make a connection between the type of penalty that is being given with the because of the violation that he did. That it should be done to the ear. Why the ear? Because it's the ear which heard Hashem's command at Har Sinai. Why suddenly here does the Torah connect the type of punishment to the type of violation? By the pe'ulas was the hamgeining event suzaina evadivri, and although it's true that the boring of the ear doesn't come immediately after the person sold himself into slavery or was sold by the bezin into slavery, it comes only It comes only after the 6 year period is up, and then he says he wants to stay. Then do we bore his ear? So that's at least 6 years later. Is a zabadoch. The penalty doesn't come over saying I like my wife and my children that I have here in the slavery situation. It's not for that that he gets punished. No, the farvas oizn shusham alasinu lesignav v'holach v'gonav. The penalty is for what happened takas 6 years earlier when he did steal. Or because what he did 6 years early, that he sold himself into slavery, even though Hashem said, "Be my slaves." So, in other words, even though it's happening 6 years later, but it's still addressing the aveira from 6 years earlier. The mitzvah mevor, which explains, was kisikna evadivri, is the eshta fun de mishpatim, was the Torah hot zok on takeif lachamat and Torah bar Sinai. And that explains why this is the first mitzvah that the Torah talks about after Matan Torah. By an Eved Ivri zetzich on in sein Oynish, by Eifen Golim Niker, because by an Eved Ivri you see in the punishment that he is given about the heir, and in a very clear way, and in his Guf Gashmi, and it actually makes a mark on his physical body. The Fabun from sein Mishpat mit Har Sinai. The connection between his penalty, the way he is judged, and the connection to Har Sinai. While Pia now Pirish Rashi Oizen Shoshama, and based on this, what Rashi says in the Oizen Shoshama is a chiddush ikri in the dinim von Eved Ivri. It's an important and essential chiddush that the Torah seems to connect. What is the most important thing that the Torah talks about in regards to an Eved Ivri? He says, you didn't listen to what I said at Har Sinai. That's what the Torah makes the issue about an Eved Ivri here in this parsha immediately after Har Sinai. And he skips over under Ein Loi V'Nimkar all the other things which lead to becoming an Eved Ivri, that he stole and that he doesn't have the money to pay, and so on. All of that is not even talked about here. That's something which is secondary. Mitzadim Kedlot Hashlum, and the fact that the reason that he was sold because he doesn't have money is a sasib chitzain, is that's only a side thing about how he ended up in slavery. That's just the circumstances through which it happened. But what does the Torah make the issue? What's the central issue of becoming a slave? Is about you didn't listen to what I said in Har Sinai, and that's why the ear is bored. That's why it makes he connects it with that, with Har Sinai. When there is Seimer dem Eved Ivri to Elam Sinai, then Din Erev Divitzah Elam is Sinai, and he connects this. What the immediately he's talking about Mishpatim, Ma Elam is Sinai, just like that Aseres HaDibros are from Sinai, so is this also from Sinai, as Rashi said. And what is the first thing that he says? Af Elam is Sinai, the Eved Ivri, that he's, if he doesn't, he's, his ear will get bored because he didn't listen at Sinai. And the fact that it comes as a result of having stolen, that only comes as a sort of, you know it from the fact that you're boring his ear, and so you have to know why you're boring his ear, because he stole it and so on. But the connection between Eved Ivri is to Har Sinai. You didn't listen at Har Sinai. So in other words, that the only place in the Torah that we see a connection between the penalty and the Aveira that you did is by the Eved Ivri that is done in the air, because it's connected to Har Sinai. Therefore, that's the first mitzvah that is mentioned, that the Eved Ivri is connected to Har Sinai. There's a direct relationship between the two, and that's why it's the first mitzvah that is mentioned in Eve'ela Mishpatim, right after Matan Torah. Al pi bira now in Pirush Rashi of Kisikne kumtzu nachatoses has barbazet, based on this explanation. So in other words, that Rashi alluded to this by his connecting it to Oizen Shoshama. Through this, you know already why this is the first mitzvah that is mentioned, and that's why the Rashi doesn't have to ask the question and answer it, because it comes answered in the following Rashi's, as we see a little bit, a few Rashi's down. So based on this, so we can explain something else. You get a better explanation about this something. When the Metzius von Eved Ivri volt demol bald noch matn teide gewen a dober a rogel va heive, if the situation of a Jewish slave would have been something which is common and current at that time, volt men geken sagen, as das gufe is the time, was der din is ongezog geworden lirishayne, then you would be able to say that the reason that this is the first mitzvah that is mentioned, because it's common that it happens, and so on, has to be talked about. Because it's something that might happen immediately. But since at that time the situation of a Jewish slave would have been something very unusual, and it's only something that might come up far in the future, is das machriach zu sagen, therefore we must say, because of that, as the time was the din is ongezog geworden betchila, therefore we're left with say, with understanding that what's then the reason that it's mentioned at the very beginning, is mitzadem inyu meyuchad for nebedivri, and shaychas meyuchedes sahar Sinai. So therefore the only reason that the Torah would mention this as the very first thing is because there is some very essential relationship between a Eved Ivri and Har Sinai, as we see that the Torah pins the punishment to the violation of Har Sinai and makes it clear, and makes even a mark on the body of the Eved Ivri to signify the violation of Har Sinai, and that's why it's written right there, right after Har Sinai. Ches, the Yom Takal Pipnimis Inyanim, and this will become even more geschmack based on the inner dimension of these Inyanim. Bal the ganze mechuvim betachlus from Matan Teres of Tzedon Doch Teres and Mitzvahs, then Birva Zichich in the Inyanim from Welt. Since the whole purpose of Matan Teres was that Teres and Mitzvahs should refine the world, Mashenk in the Teres and Mitzvahs from the Ovis. Far Matan Teres will have nish peil given as Shinoi in Gashmis from Welt, whereas in contrast to the mitzvahs of the Ovis, which had no impact on the world, it didn't change the physical aspect of the world. The Ribbit is that the Eshtef from the Mishpatim la'achar Matan Torah azat zivoy v'din was in im zetmen begoli b'matan Torah peil tev gashmi yisa'olam. Therefore, the first mitzvah after Matan Torah is Eved Ivri, in which we see that there is a change, there is an impact on the Gashmias. Und in dem drückt sich heus die Darges HaVeide von an Eved Ivri. And in this impact that it's meant to have on the world, it's expressed, the HaVeide of an Eved is expressed as the Chassidus explains, is mevair the drei Madreges Eved Knani Eved Ivri and Amma Ivriya in Avodas Hashem, as we see in Chassidus, that it explains three different types of slavery. There is the level in Aveda, in personal Aveda of a person. There are three different types of Aveda. One is what would be called Eved Ivri, one is Eved Knani, and one is Eved Amma Ivriya. What is Eved Knani? Is there was the Nefesh of Bahamis Ba'em B'Tokfei Avdebef Keda Nichalei? That is someone that his Nefesh of Bahamis is in full force, and as we know that an Eved, the Gemara says that an Eved likes his freedom, that's what he wants. He wants to be able to do whatever he wants. That's the Nefesh of Bahamis in full bloom. Und Tzitzich Lamata Tzitavis Oilem Azen is drawn to the pleasures of the world. Or nor eris kaifa atzma in his eved avem b'mayis of a peil mamish v'sur me'rav ha'seitayv. But even though his nefesh of Bahamas is so impactful, but he controls it and subdues it and actually does what he needs to do. He's sur me'rai, doesn't do what he shouldn't do. Ha'seitayv, he curbs the impulses of the nefesh of Bahamas. Tzad Kabbalah Seil L'Neim Esadim, because he accepts the yoke of Hashem and he's because he's afraid of the Hashem and so on. The avodah of an eved ivri is an hechera darge. An eved ivri is a higher level. The im zayne meir the midas for nefesh elikis. That's a person that has the midas, what the nefesh elikis wants, also has an impact on him. So the nefesh elikis is able to somewhat curb the nefesh bahamis, not to control the nefesh bahamis, but is imparts to the Nefesh of Bahamas certain better morals. Bizas Eich, but the Nefesh of Bahamas is da'at shukal Hashem, until even the Nefesh of Bahamas has a certain yearning to Hashem. Es is aber noch nicht nishapach geboren l'ktusha, but even the Nefesh of Bahamas is not yet transformed to ktusha. As is only shabam kein chemda zu taivas oilem hazeh, that he shouldn't have any yearnings and desires for Olam Hazeh, not yet. Al derech di an eved vos bringt harein in hoiz alet starchias for the bnei bais v'achila v'shtia, similar to an eved that he's the one that shops and brings things to the home which the family needs for eating and drinking. Zatayin aber nit noch nit roi l'achila s'adam. He may bring them into the house, but they're not yet ready for consumption. Ze zayne noch nish gekocht, they're not cooked yet, and so on. Nish geendigt. They haven't yet been transformed from their raw state. So also an Eved Ivri, it means that the Nefesh Bahamas already has certain, it's already contributing to the positive preparation for what is needed by the family, but it hasn't been completely transformed yet, that it can be eaten and consumed as it is. It's still in its raw state. The Aveda von Amma Avriya is does with it was the tivus and midus and nefesh bahamis verness hapach lektusha biza zain chuke is noch norolukus. An Amma Avriya means that even the nefesh bahamis is being completely transformed into something which also has only the interests of the nefesh elikis. Its only yearning is to elikus, complete transformation. Well, the mit is moving, and through this we understand. Was the Ascholof in the Mishpatim Lacha Matan Teire, was does bring to raise the pool of Matan Teire in Welt, that the beginning of the very first mitzvah that is talked about after Matan Teire, which is meant, brings out what the impact of Matan Teire is supposed to have on the world. As mid di dinim from Eved Ivri, is through the dinim of Eved Ivri. What's the first thing? Eved Ivri, vile. Thus, Eved Ivri is the Ascholos Aveda from the Eden Lacha Matan Teira. That's what a Yid has to do. That's how you begin your Aveda after Matan Teira. Poyel Zayna for Nefesh Bahamas in Inyone Oedlam Bechlalas is only Shtana Veren. To change the Nefesh Bahamas, that it should change. Not like an Eved Knani, which the Nefesh Bahamas remains who it is, but you're able to control it temporarily. But rather, there is a change is needed. That's what the difference between the Ovis. They had no possibility to change the world. But Matan Torah means that you have to change the world. So Eved Ivri is the Aveda of changing the Nefesh of Bahamas. when the Rain came in Rishus, that it should change the world and to bring it into Rishus HaKdusha, Mashenge de Aveda from Eved Knani is noch nish kan shine amiti. As we said, that Eved Knani is not a real change in Zayna Midas, although Zayna Bechalka Be'elim, it doesn't make a change, it's only controlling it temporarily. And then after an Eved Ivri, which means somewhat of a transformation, then comes the next darge, which is an Oma Ivriya. As when is Mahapach, the Midas of Nefesh Bahamis, when in Yonam Ha'ilum Bechlal, that a person is able to completely transform the Nefesh Bahamis and also other matters around them in the world. As is on Verna, Dira Lo'iz Baruch, that they should become a Dira, and that's why the halachas of Eved Ivri are the very first thing, and Oma Ivri are the very first thing that are talked about after Matan Torah, because that is the way we are meant to change the world right after Matan Torah.